This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who still likes to build a fort, Pete Chwaba.
Hey, Wisconsin. Welcome to Nightlight. This is a Friday night edition, kind of a big deal tonight because, well, it's our last Freaky Friday show, and it has been a good run. We've been doing Freaky Friday all month on Fridays, telling ghost stories and talking to people who run haunted houses and do ghost tours and all that kind of stuff, and this is our last night. Doesn't mean we can never talk about spooky stuff again, but as a rule, on Friday nights, Terry Barr, for Bar Band Friday Night, has had his share Fridays for the last month with the Freaks, the Freaky Friday team. So it'll be back to Bar Band Friday Night solely starting next Friday. So we have a fun show tonight. As I mentioned, it's starting to look like Halloween. I don't know if it's getting darker earlier, but it feels more like Halloween as we get closer. And Conrad, am I crazy or does it seem like we've been building up to Halloween for like 2 months.
I don't know. To me, it feels like it's not even there yet because
really?
This past week it was
still really nice.
Warm. Yeah.
Maybe it's the election. I don't know what it is, but there's all kinds of, I feel like we've been talking about Halloween for like a month and a half, but we haven't just in October. But anyway, it's right around the corner next Thursday. And we will do our last Freaky Friday tonight, and helping us tell some scary stories will be Frank Anderson, our old pal Frank Anderson from Wisconsinology. Frank has great ghost stories, and I'm going to ask him to tell one of my personal favorite scary stories tonight that involves a ship and ghosts and deep, dark waters. Frank has a great story, and then we'll talk about Kate Blood. Remember when he was on last time? We talked about, he brought up Kate Blood, but we were kind of out of time, so I want him to tell that story tonight, too. So he's got some good ghost stories. He'll be along in just a few minutes. We're getting started a little earlier tonight because we've got a full slate. At 6:20, Frank will be here, and at 7:05, I'm excited. This is a first-time guest joining us tonight on Nightlight. Her name is Taylor Nicole, and she is your favorite goth consonite. So how do you like that? She's a goth consonite. And we'll have to ask her exactly what that is when she's here. She's got a couple really good ghost stories. And she's coming into the studio, so that'll be exciting. And you can follow her. She's an influencer. She's all over social media. And she's got fun posts. I was looking at her Instagram page today and a little bit on TikTok. And she's I'm excited. I'm excited to meet her and see what she has to give us in the way of Freaky Friday and Halloween. That'll be fun to meet Taylor at 7:05. And then, of course, it's Friday, so that means Terry Barr, Max Inc. Radio, the award-winning radio show and podcast, co-host Terry Barr will be here. She does a great job hosting with Jimmy and Rocker. Terry comes by every Friday night at 7:35 and brings new music and sparkling conversation. She's so much fun to talk to, and she's one of our frequent flyers here at Nightlight, so it'll be fun to talk to Terry. So a lot going on. Freaky Friday, Bar Band Friday night. A lot going on this weekend, Halloween parties. I'm going to try to hit one later tonight myself. And a Badgers game. Conrad, the Badgers. Talk to me, man.
You know, I've seen a lot of Twitter posts from people being like, you know, don't be surprised if the Badgers upset Penn State.
Why?
I don't know. They've been playing well. I'll give them that.
Yeah, they're playing better for sure.
But Penn State's really good. They got a great defense, a better offense. It's going to be a really tough game. I'm not on the side of them saying, don't be surprised if Wisconsin beats them.
Yeah.
I'm going to be surprised.
I will be too, but I will say I'm rooting for the Badgers anyway
because
they're my team. I'm a huge Wisconsin Badger fan, but Penn State has somehow turned itself into the one of the most despicable college programs. After all that nonsense that happened with Sandusky and Paterno, you know, and then this happens again this week. There were rape allegations, and supposedly they did not, they kind of swept under the rug and they didn't address right away. Of all the programs to do that, really Penn State?
Yeah.
And then the coach walked away and let the PR guy handle, like, are you above answering questions? I cannot stand that attitude, and I really hope the Badgers find a way to win tomorrow.
You know what I'm excited for is this weekend is the new Venom movie. I'm gonna go see that tomorrow.
Okay.
I can't wait for that.
Have you seen the other ones?
Oh yeah.
See,
I'm a big Spider-Man guy.
And he's a Spider-Man villain, correct?
Yeah, it's in the same universe. Comics, Venom, Carnage, Spider-Man, all those. I'm really excited. It's going to be the last one, so I hope they do it justice.
I have to say, I'm a little surprised. I went to sports, and you wasted no time pivoting out of sports back into show business. I gave you an opportunity. I set the table for you, buddy.
Okay, hold on. We can talk about a great thing happening tonight. It's the beginning of the World Series.
That's true.
And it's going to be a great series.
Dodgers-Yankees, I'm sorry. Dodgers-Mets.
Yes, that is going to be a really good series.
All right, sports guy, who's going to win?
You know, I'm hoping the Yankees win.
Really?
Just because I don't want anyone out of the same conference as the Brewers to win. I'm biased.
Wow, that's some serious loyalty. The Yankees have won enough. I saw at least 20 years ago, I don't know if this is still true, the Yankees had won like 1/4 of all the World Series ever played. That's enough. You're done. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, is that how you feel about Boston too, winning last year?
Well, Boston didn't.
I mean, I switched to basketball. Sorry there for a second.
Yeah. The Celtics have. I don't care if the Celtics ever win another championship. I mean, but you know, in baseball, so I really think they should do it like football. With the pay, I mean, it's just not fair the way the bigger market teams, that's part of it, I think. Like, give teams like the Brewers, the Kansas City Royals, or some of these smaller market teams a chance, I think. I don't know.
Well, I just got to say that it's going to be a good series, though.
And yeah.
I'm excited to watch the end of the baseball season start, because that means it's going into hockey, basketball and football, like all right. Every single day.
This is
much.
That weird part of the year where we're in pro football, pro basketball, and pro baseball, and pro hockey, right? Yeah, a lot of overlap.
The equinox of sports.
The equinox for sports nerds. So a lot of stuff going on this weekend. Are you going to a party this weekend? You got a Halloween party?
Actually, I was going to, but the place where I was going to stay, he's out of town, so I have nowhere to stay. So I'm
where is it, Milwaukee?
In West Bend.
Okay.
So I'm like, I'm not going to rent out a hotel again because that's not cheap.
So, yeah, no kidding.
So I'm just like, you know what? I got a lot of sports. I could watch Venom. Yeah, why not stay home?
There you go. And I did come around. I watched episode 3 of Bad Monkey.
And you liked it.
Well, I liked, without spoiling anything, I did like when the father reappeared. I'll just leave it at that. And I was like,
he's a cool character, right?
He is a cool character. Yeah. And I think the girl's a cool character too. She's just funny. And Vince Vaughn is just Vince Vaughn. And I'm okay with that. He's funny. He plays Vince Vaughn in a lot of stuff. They just give him a different name. But I like it. It's a good show. I'm waiting to see, what's the kid from Jamaica's name again?
Oh, why can't I think of it?
His storyline is a little slow. I'm waiting for that to get there. It seems like it's very repetitive, but they've got me. I'll stick with it for a little while.
If you were watching it week to week like me, I was like, what is going to happen next? His name was Neville.
That's right. And he's like, I like him, but I feel like they're kind of bringing his story along in slow motion while the rest of the show moves forward.
Once it all comes together, you're going to love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's called Bad Monkey, and we've barely met the monkey.
You've seen him, right?
Huh?
You've seen the monkey, right?
Oh, yeah. The monkey's on there, and he's he's a good... It's nice to see the monkey working again since Friends, when Ross... Yeah.
Marcel,
yeah. Oh, my God. Was that not the most cringe when Ross would get all mopey and almost start to cry because of Marcel? I'm like, oh, God, I am so done with this part of this show. But let's jump into, speaking of friends, yesterday, this week, about, what is it, 8 years ago, Matt LeBlanc had a show that dropped. I don't know if you'd call it a spinoff, but he was on, right, it's not a spinoff. He was just a character on Friends. This is a show he had.
Yep.
So I don't know.
Maybe, the Man with a Plan.
The Man with a Plan is what it was called. Yeah. I don't know if our question, we're going to ask the question anyway. What is your favorite sitcom or one-hour drama spinoff? Let us know. You have all kinds of stuff to choose from. There's Happy Days, which spawned Joni Loves Chachi, Mork from Ork, all kinds of stuff. Cheers spawned Frasier. Friends. Did Friends do one?
So
technically, I don't think they did.
No, they did.
Oh, they did.
They tried. It didn't work out. It was terrible. It was Matt LeBlanc. It was Joey.
Joey, right.
It was just called Joey.
That's right. Okay. That's the one I was thinking of.
I forgot how I watched it, but I watched the first episode and I was like, there's a reason they didn't keep going with it. It was terrible.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
But you liked A Man with a Plan.
Yeah. I mean, that had a way different story. It was like Joey's still trying to make it, like in that show.
In the show Joey?
Yeah.
Like he was still the struggling actor?
Yeah.
See, after a while, that just got kind of pathetic. He had the two-part, the show when he was on the soap opera. He was Dr. Drake Ramore, and he lasted like three episodes. And it's like, he was still just kind of a joke through the whole series as far as his acting career went. So the fact that you're going to spin the show off and make him still a struggling actor, I wouldn't want to keep watching that. Give the guy a break. Let him get a show or a gig or move on and go back to college or something. That would just be tedious, I think.
So I just looked it up on, I went to the Google, and somehow it ran for two seasons.
Joey did?
Yeah.
Just on that Friends house money, I think, though.
2004 to 2006.
Okay.
And I only watched one episode and I was like, yeah, there's a reason this got canceled.
Yeah. So let us know what your favorite spinoff is. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. There's a lot of them. All right, Frank Anderson is coming up. A lot of fun stuff happened in Hollywood this day. Halloween came out in 1978, the original Halloween. The movie Ghost Ship, which has a cool poster, a cool title, and a good cast, but got like less than 15% on Rotten Tomatoes. So there you go. Those are your two scary films that were released on this day. All right. It's Freaky Friday, folks. It's here. In just a couple minutes, our old pal Frank Anderson joins us to tell us the story of Kate Blood and his famous ghost ship story. This is Pete Schwabe in Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome to another Freaky Friday on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Man, if anything, I'm going to miss that intro. We'll have to catalog that for next year. It is Freaky Friday. Welcome, folks. Our last Freaky Friday of this season, anyway. We've told some fun ghost stories over the last month, talked about some ghost tours, and all kinds of fun stuff happening this month on Nightlight in regard to scares and creepy and eerie stuff. And tonight, we are giving you a double dose. At 7:05, your favorite goth consonite, Taylor Nicole, joins me here in the studio. And right now, it's one of our favorites on the phone with us, who I am hoping will indulge me and tell some fun, creepy stories tonight. From Wisconsinology, it's writer, editor, director, musician. I think he does a lot of other stuff, too. He probably does nails and has a jewelry store. I don't know. Frank Anderson joins us. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Pete, so good to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you, buddy. I think you kicked off Freaky Friday a little over a month ago for us, so thank you for being back here and helping us close it down for this year. But how are things going?
Wonderful. Just wonderful. All set. for this exciting Halloween season in the Halloween state.
Yeah.
This is wonderful.
Do you give out good candy, Frank, at your house? Do you treat the kids? Or?
Yes, I do. They get super handfuls of wonderful candy, and I actually research what kids like.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
Basically, they still like big amounts of the old classics, you know, candy bars, Snickers bars, things like that.
Absolutely. You can't go wrong with the classics.
No.
Also, okay, so today, one of the first things I saw today when I checked my socials, if you will, was you posted this great, we used to call it a rider, but it was the contents of Frank Sinatra's dressing room. I don't know, was this in Vegas?
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
No, it was, I believe it's his last tour.
Okay.
I believe. Yeah, I'm not certain. I don't know. I just thought it was amazing.
I mean,
and
go ahead.
What's he doing back there? He's cooking soup and making his own tuna fish sandwiches because he doesn't trust the staff or the caterers.
Here are just a few items: a color TV with second input for in-house pickup, upright piano, private telephone with dedicated line, vodka, Jack Daniels, Chivas Regal. Red wine, white wine, beef eater gin, assorted mixers, 24 cans of soda, a fruit bowl, a cheese tray, 2 egg salad sandwiches, 2 chicken salad sandwiches, 12 rolls of cherry lifesaver. I mean, first of all, how long is he in town? Is this a month's worth of stuff? Or he's just entertaining, I guess?
Well, I've been in many backstage situations in the rock and country world.
Yeah.
And that's actually a pretty easy-going list. There's not much going on here.
Okay.
Very easy to fulfill.
Sure.
A PA can handle this. This is no big deal.
He's got 2 bars of Ivory soap, 6 boxes of Kleenex, 1 carton of Camels, no filter, 1 bucket of ice cubes.
Now, I get the cherry lifesavers, right?
Sure.
To soothe your throat. I don't get non-filtered Camels. I mean,
yeah, that seems counterproductive.
It's like he has a devil and an angel on each shoulder. You know? Right. Smoke, lifesaver. Smoke, lifesaver.
Right. 1 tea kettle, coffee pot. This is great. I love this kind of stuff. It's weird when you read this, you almost feel a little closer to him. You know what I mean? Like you kind of get some insight into his brain a little bit. It's kind of fun.
Well, did you ever have a rider on your contract when you were Funny Man Pete Schwabba back in the day?
You know, I did a pilot in New York for VH1. Jim Gaffigan was the other actor. We were the 2 leads. I played this airheaded VJ. And they did ask me all these kind of questions. And I was just happy to have a free plane ticket to New York. I didn't care about what was in the dressing room. And honestly, like Gaffigan was more, he had been much more experienced at this kind of stuff. I thought I was going to get fired. If I saw a PA whisper to another PA behind the camera, I thought that meant I was going to get fired. I mean, that's how lucky I felt to be there. And Gaffigan was like, just bossing people around. Like, you know, it was not his first rodeo. So, but I was amazed at the money they spent just to give you something in your dressing room. It was probably $100 worth of groceries. And this was a cable show. So limited experience.
Right.
What about you?
Right. And my rider had one thing and one only. McDonald's Coke.
Oh, people love that.
I'm a freak about it. It's the drink to me.
Still?
Still.
Nice, Frank.
If I'm ill with the flu, I head straight for the drive-through window. I have someone order it so I don't, you know, infect anyone.
Right.
And I get a wonderful McDonald's Coke. 10 minutes later, I'm back.
Wait a minute. You're telling me McDonald's Coke cures the flu?
Yes.
Wow. All right. Conrad, take a memo. We got to get on that next time.
I go with the Diet Coke from there.
And if I'm ever in your studio in person, which I want to be.
Yes.
Hey, are you guys on Washington Street?
Yeah, we are.
Oh.
Uh-oh. Are you down the block?
Yeah. No. Oh. Talk about spooky. I mean, that's the site. Downtown Green Bay, Washington Street, is the site of the first European cemetery. And it was a graveyard of French nobles and a noble family who were here during the French Fox Indian Wars. There were two great wars in the Fox River Valley, the first and second Fox Indian War. And the family who, the noble family who were in charge, suffered heavily. And their people were buried right there under Washington Street. Hence, numerous cellar basement ghost sightings in various bars along Washington Street.
All right. So that makes sense. Conrad and I have seen some really strange stuff happening. I'm sure this studio is on that burial ground or the place across the street or something.
Here's the thing about that burial ground. It was not honored. When they transplanted bodies to, I keep forgetting the name of that huge cemetery in Ashwaubenon, Green Bay, south, you know, the famous one.
Lombardi Cemetery?
No, that gigantic one on the hill. What is that called?
Hey, Frank, Conrad, Google, let's pick up right here. We got to do the news. And when we come back, Frank is going to tell, he's going to finish this story about the cemetery here in downtown Green Bay. We're going to get to Cape Blood and we're going to jump right in. Maybe you'll indulge me, Frank, and tell the ghost ship story again. I would love that if you're willing, buddy.
Sure, I do. Yeah,
all right. Very cool. Frank Anderson is here. It's Freaky Friday. We're coming back with the spooky stuff. Don't go anywhere. Here is Civic Media's award-winning news. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome to another Freaky Friday, a Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Welcome back. Jim from Appleton says, my favorite spinoff was canceled a while ago, NCIS New Orleans. Loved the way Scott Bakula played his part. Those are all spinoffs, right? Of like the same show. I guess the Law and Orders, too. Anna from the 608 says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite spinoff from a sitcom is Laverne and Shirley, which was a spinoff from Happy Days. Yes. How did I leave Laverne and Shirley out? We'll read some more texts in just a little bit. Keep them coming. What is your favorite spinoff? That's the question tonight. 855-752-4842. Right now, I'm going to cherish every second with my pal Frank Anderson, who is on the phone right now, helping us get through our last Freaky Friday. Frank, you were in the middle of telling us a story about a cemetery here in downtown Wisconsin under Washington Street.
In downtown Green Bay, Wisconsin, yes.
Yeah.
You left that out.
I like to be ambiguous.
It was a botched job. These people were buried in 1730s.
Oh, wow.
So that's a long time ago. So it's a settlement of French nobility and Métis, which are a race that happened when French voyagers intermarried with the many tribes that were here. And they became their own thing, and Green Bay was their settlement. And it was crazy winding roads, fun fiddle music, dancing all the time. It was fun.
Sounds
Old Green
fun.
Bay was fun.
Yeah.
And these people were buried over decades and decades, and there was no keeping track of who was where. And when the bodies were moved to make room for the modern city of Green Bay, and they were moved to Heritage Hill.
Really?
They left a few behind. So literally, were and foundations were placed atop dead bodies.
Oh, dear.
And that is the story, to me. It's all I think about when I'm on Washington Street. That's all I think about. I wonder if it was that one or that one. And then someone else has a great story in those bars that are along there.
So do you have any idea, like, where, what part of Washington typically are these bodies buried under, or what stretch, maybe?
Well, old old Green Bay, old the French settlement, and we're talking a very small place.
Yeah,
is really truly where the center of Green Bay is now. It's right around there.
Huh.
So, and of course, in those days, people moved a lot, and they'd be 1 mile downstream, or they'd head upstream along, you know, in actual Green Bay. And, well, I'm sorry, that's the other way around. Fox River flows north. Okay. But people moved around a lot, and there were many little settlements here and here and there and there and here. The American arrival really cemented it in. But it's an easy Google to find about the ghosts of Washington Street.
Well, that is what I'm doing later when I get home and I'm alone in the house and scared.
Yeah, I sidetracked you. I always sidetrack.
That's okay. All right, so let's, before any more time goes by, Frank, I don't want to run. The story of Kate Blood, you seemed very excited last time to tell it, which made it even harder to say goodbye because we were out of time. But tell us the story, please, if you would, of Kate Blood.
Well, it is not much of a story. It is a story of a remarkable young woman who died at the age of 23. She died in 1874. She was the first daughter of Appleton. I always called her that. Hmm. I know there were other little girls born here in 1849, 50, whatever. She was born in 1851. Her life is easy to trace up to a point. There are no photographs of her. She married newspaper editor George Miller. Her bloody grave that people visit night and day round the clock is says Kate Blood Miller, and it lists their children and everything. And yet she is associated simply because her name is Blood.
Yeah.
And that's a very common English name from a certain region in England. Very common. And her father built Appleton and laid out College Avenue and Oneida Street, which are the heart of Appleton. Basically, he created Appleton with his hands.
Huh.
So he built the first building in Lawrence, and he built the first structures. He built the first hotel. He was a Green Bay hotelier who moved down to Appleton when that became a city. So Kate Blood was nothing more than a lively, loved person who died of tuberculosis. It was so sad. They sent her out to Colorado to get the air and the cure. Back then, you could go to Colorado Springs and, I don't know, dip your feet in the water and wait for death to come. And
nice.
she died, and her body was transported back home, and it was a very sad day in Appleton history. But when your name is Blood, they won't leave you alone, right?
Right.
And hence, most, including the Bloody Bride of Stevens Point, most of our legends and everything are some fourth grader making crap up in front of a campfire for his buddies. I guarantee you they are. So,
well, if they stick, though.
That Bloody Bride thing sure stuck.
Well, we'll talk about that, but like Kate Blood, so was she in her early 20s when she died, or that's when she got married?
And 23. She was 23.
Okay.
She had two children. She was 23, and her wedding announcement in the Appleton paper is delightful. It's modern. It's, you know, they're almost joking with everybody about it. You know, come on, have a casual good time. And making fun of people in a nice, pleasant way. It's the most modern wedding announcement ever from that time. There's no stiffness. It's loose. You can tell she was that they were a fun, young, carefree couple. That's the sadness of the whole thing.
Oh, man.
And when she came back dead in the coffin, the city mourned. It was their first big loss, and the newspaper at the time documents that, you know, it is with a heavy heart that we lost one of our bright lights, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Then some fourth grader gets a hold of it, Kate Blood, and starts making up axe murderer, Kate Blood, secret werewolf, Kate Blood, Kate Blood, drinker of children's blood, Kate Blood.
Oh, my
God. You know, all of a sudden, it exploded, and Kate Blood became 100 of the most evil creatures you ever knew. And at night, she prowls the underground tunnel system, which I've seen, by the way, beneath beneath Riverside Cemetery in Appleton.
But you've never seen her when you've been down there. Okay. I'm just checking.
It's actually a few narrow access tunnels by the former monastery that is there, and a few kind of entryways into the side of the hill from below.
That checks a lot of boxes, though, Frank. Monastery, tunnels, blood.
My office was there. It was called...
Oh, I saw. That's right.
Yeah, I had an office there. It was the Mount Alverno Retreat.
Yeah.
Modeled after a 1932 monastery in Italy, built exactly the same way.
Oh, my gosh.
Originally, and it was called The Refuge for, I don't know, 6 years. And I had my office there, and I did stop-motion animation there.
That's right. And did you ever...
And I would walk
that place...
home at night.
Oh, really? Yeah, I remember when you showed me around there, that place lends itself to like a ghost story. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a great old structure, but I can imagine if you're there late at night, you probably start to maybe see things or something.
Well, among those who helped build it was, of course, the famous exorcist from Appleton, Father Theophilus Reisinger.
Huh. Wow.
Whose exorcisms are the basis of the description of the exorcism in The Exorcist, the movie, the book.
Yeah, yeah.
And basically have influenced Hollywood from day one.
No kidding.
I love the Hollywood-Wisconsin connection when it comes to scary stuff.
I know you do. Listen, I didn't know anything about it, really, until I met you, and I realized that basically Wisconsin is the center of the universe when it comes to Hollywood scary stuff, you know.
Oh, well, just think. In 1938, on Halloween, Orson Welles scared the entire nation with his War of the Worlds broadcast, which felt too real for some people, right?
Yeah.
And CBS Radio had broadcasted it. They had a complete panic. Orson Welles from Kenosha, Wisconsin, scares the whole world. Who do they get to step in and assure America that all is well? Well, stepping up to the mic right after that broadcast is Don Ameche, also from Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
America's most trusted and beloved actor at the time. And that's true, by the way. And he comes on and says, oh, we were just having a little fun with you, you know.
Oh, God, that's great. How is he trusted? I don't get that. Like, Don Ameche is
the
most trusted.
Dr. Alexander Graham Bell in the Alexander Graham Bell story.
Yeah, but that...
some people come across as trustworthy.
Okay,
they're
that makes sense.
So nice.
Tom Hanks.
And Don Ameche has that quality.
Right. That's funny. So, wait, but just to go back for a second, the Kate Blood story, there's never been really any sightings of her. Just these fourth graders.
No.
Why are fourth graders such jerks, by the way, in general? I've always had a thing. I just don't trust.
No, they're
not trustworthy.
That's absolutely. Yeah, that is grade jerk. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know what I love about fourth grade? I remember fourth grade. And what I love about it is if you had a teacher who was the least bit stern and older,
yeah,
they would go, when she walked, from The Wizard of Oz, right? The witch's theme.
Right.
And who wrote the witch's theme?
Oh,
Herbert
boy.
Stothart from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, UW grad, head of the MGM music department.
Come on, that's great. So
absolutely.
This
by the way, Wisconsin film composers owned the Universal horror era, the 30s. They owned MGM, they owned Universal.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Frank, so let's do this. I really want you to talk about, because I do these Hollywood beats here, and then I do the classic movie pick of the week, and this week it's The Shining. I know that I'd love to save the ghost story for our last segment after a very short break, but we have a couple minutes before that. Can you talk about the Estes Park Hotel that became Stephen King's inspiration for The Shining?
Yeah, apparently a lot of people have been saying forever who stayed. Stephen King stayed there one night, and that influenced The Shining. The Shining was born by his stay there.
Yeah.
And there's a theory that certain types of rocks are, in essence, tape recorders and can replay things that happen, traumatic things that happen, mundane things that happen, if the conditions are right, the atmosphere, the humidity, yeah. I don't know. But it's a theory. And that hotel is completely surrounded, 100%, and built upon such a bedrock of, I'm sorry, I forgot the name of the rock,
I think it was the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, and I'm looking for... Yeah. Well, it's built into a mountain, basically, right?
Built into a mountain. So that hotel is, in essence, replaying things that have happened there in the past. Like a tape recorder. It's just replaying. And that affected Stephen King greatly, and he wrote The Shining because of that.
Brilliant. That's so great. That's one of those movies, Frank, that I've seen twice. I don't want to watch it again. Like, it creeps me out that much. The scene where Nicholson is in the bathroom talking to the men's room attendant, and you can hear the ballroom behind them, and that he's telling him to kill his family, basically. And it's just so haunting. Frank Anderson is here. Go ahead, Frank. We have to do a quick break. Let's take the break. All right, fantastic. It's a very quick one, folks. Don't go anywhere. Frank Anderson is here. We're talking scary stuff. It's Freaky Friday. And our favorite goth consonite is coming up at 7:05 and Terry Barr for Bar Band Friday night at 7:35. But we've got Frank for a few more minutes, and we'll jump into more scary stuff right after this. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome to another Freaky Friday, a Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
We are back. And we have a few more minutes with our friend Frank Anderson. Check out wisconsinology.com. Frank has so much... Wisconsin lore there, history, scary stuff, interesting stuff. It's a great site, and he's a frequent guest on this show, and we love to talk about scary stuff with Frank. So please continue, Frank. Before the break, you were talking about the Overlook Hotel, which was formerly the Stanley Hotel, and we were talking about Stephen King.
Is that where we left
well,
off?
Well, I was saying how I thought the scene where he's talking to the men's room attendant was the creepiest thing I've ever seen.
And I was about to say, do you remember when it came out and it got slammed by the critics?
I do. And you know what? I have an issue with that, Frank, because I feel like movies critics have no guts anymore, because all these movies... I do remember that. But now on Rotten Tomatoes, The Shining gets like an 85%. And I'm like, I don't remember. I remember critics not liking it. But personally, I've talked to people who liked the movie better than the book, probably because of Nicholson, and it was so well shot, and it was Kubrick, right?
Of course. Yeah. I loved it. It was stunning. It's in everybody's mind. It's in popular culture.
Exactly.
By the way, Conrad, will you look up my movie? I think it's still 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Is this Aswang?
No. Oh, by the way, they're showing that Saturday evening.
I know. Barry was on the show. He was on the show a couple weeks ago. We were talking about that screening at the Oriental.
Oh, how wonderful.
It was great.
No, I'm talking about The Life of Riley.
Oh, yeah. That got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes? Nicely done, Frank.
Yes. It had been. I just wanted we have Conrad, so let's use him.
Conrad's a whiz with the Google. I had decent reviews for The Godfather Green Bay, nowhere near 100%. I'd be happy if it was 55, 60%. A guy thing, I don't think we hit 30%. Like, they totally ruined that movie. So I'm very envious of you for getting 100%. That's highly coveted.
Okay, big deal. We were the second highest critically ranked movie of 2007. Second.
Oh, man.
And yet, it was at the bottom of the box office. So,
yeah.
Charts. And so basically, I'm in Hollywood jail ever since then.
Oh, man. What's your bail set at, Frank? I'll scrape some money together.
Do they know I've been sneaking in and doing stop motion and special effects stuff.
You're staying pretty busy.
Fine.
Yeah, you're doing okay. Hey, so do you mind telling the story about the ghost ship in Door County? I love that story much. We got a few more minutes.
Ready?
I'd love to hear it.
Are we ready?
We are ready, my friend. Frank is stretching
out right
now. Great
Lakes history, people. In 1679, the French explorer René Robert Cavalier Sieur de La Salle, who we'll just call La Salle, built the first large cargo ship in the Great Lakes, and it was called the Griffin. And the day it was launched, it was cursed by a Christian Mohican shaman. At Cayuga Island, which is off upstate New York in the Niagara River. And everybody knows the name Cayuga because Rod Serling, his production company, was called Cayuga Productions after the river that feeds into the river at that point. The shaman said that La Salle had offended the Great Spirit. Okay, flash forward. He brings his ship to Green Bay to pick up fur pelts. And in 1679, nothing, not gold, not anything was more valuable than fur pelts because they made the most fashionable hats in Europe. This is a fortune.
Right.
So they loaded up the Griffin with fur pelts at Washington Island at the tip of Door County. And it was never seen again. La Salle was not on the ship at the time. He was away exploring. I think he was exploring the Michigan coastline. And he blamed his crew for the ship's loss and for the theft of its cargo. Now, the Griffin was, of course, never to be seen again until 1943, when a resident of Washington Island, taking a morning walk, looked off into just north of the island and saw the ship calmly making its way, sailing close to shore with the men talking to each other.
Come on, that's great.
That's what I say. But however, it has since become the holy grail of Great Lakes shipwrecks. And everybody's after it. And there have been near sightings and declarations of finding it. My own theory is that they will find it in Wisconsin waters. Poverty Island is the last island before they become Michigan waters. And heaven help them if they find it in Michigan waters. That's a story we have to change.
Sacrilegious.
I demand it be down in Wisconsin waters. La Salle himself was just, you know, he's a money guy, right?
Yeah.
The shaman had predicted that he would be murdered by his own men launched the ship. Lo and behold, he was murdered by his men later in Texas when he was exploring down there.
Frank, thank you as always, my friend. These are such fun stories. I just can't thank you enough.
Damn, and we couldn't go on to the ghost of Liberace.
Well, get there. Listen, I'm making a note for next time, and we'll do the Stevens Point Ghost Bridge thing, too. We always have tons of stuff to talk about, so we'll do it again soon. We don't have to just do it in October.
Absolutely.
All right, buddy.
Absolutely.
Have a great night, and thank you so much, Frank.
Thank you, Pete.
You're welcome. Anytime. All right, that's Frank Anderson. Check out Wisconsinology.com, a really fascinating site if you love Wisconsin like I do, or like Frank does. Coming up next, it's our favorite goth Consonite, Taylor Nicole, and she is here in the studio, ladies and gentlemen. That's coming up next on Nightlight after award-winning news. This is Pete Schwabe, and we will be right back.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.